Today on Real Life Radio.
He looks upon us, an amazing characteristic of God. He knows everything about you and I, but he chooses by his divine nature to forgive and to forget when we come to him and ask for forgiveness.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, our children are facing cultural giants these days, unlike previous generations could have imagined. A barrage of hate and intolerance against Christians has become the norm. But the question is, are they equipped to take a stand, or will they be overcome? Our current featured resource is a powerful must-read for parents about the importance of raising strong believers who will emerge as tomorrow's Christian leaders. It's a book called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's written by Ken Ham. He's an author and speaker who's also the founder of Answers in Genesis and the highly acclaimed Creation Museum. With topics like godly generations and leaving a lasting legacy, Ken gives a powerful message about the importance of thriving in the face of cultural adversity. Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 2. Now, 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth and shares with us the love chapter. You see, finding the love of your life is finding a relationship with Jesus Christ. His very nature is love. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that God loves every one of us, but he hates sin. It's why he tells us to walk in wisdom and to be careful about what we think or say. Now, with his message called Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible teaches that God is your assurance. He says to you, these things have been written, for example, that you might know you have eternal life. Do you know that? Because many people, they don't know that. They go to a particular church and that church will tell them, you won't know if you're going to heaven until you die. Well, isn't that a satanic sales pitch? You just can't know until you die. You can't. The Bible makes it clear after you die, you can't change your mind. You've got to choose Christ now. Jesus said that unless you're born again, the word is Greek, born from above, unless you're born from heaven, like you've been born from the earth, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We've got to be born again now, Jesus said. And one of the first things that God does is that he wraps you up and he speaks to you about assurance. You're my child. What do you think? Listen, in the Bible, how often does the Bible tell you, you are my child, you are my son, to the family of God at Rome or to the believers at Corinth, over and over again? What is God communicating when he says to us, we've been sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit? What's he saying? He's saying, be assured, be confident. This life is rough and hard going. But thank God, I thank God that we can have this assurance. Aren't you glad that you could lay your neck down or your life down knowing, you know what, it didn't go well for me in this world, but Lord Jesus, here I come. Listen, you need to know now, not later, about your eternal security with Christ. He assures us. And every one of you who are hearing my voice right now, you need to know God's love for you and that you've yielded to this amazing love that brings this consistency into your life. The Bible says this, that his love is gentle, it is kind. We read that it does not behave rudely, that is without courtesy. Proverbs 29:22 says, a hot-tempered person starts fights and gets into all kinds of sin. That word is the opposite of God's love. When we are hot-tempered, we're not walking in love. We're the opposite of this word, to behave rudely. If we're hot-tempered, we do behave rudely. This is a serious thing. We have to be careful about this. Jesus is always consistent to love in the face of hatred or rejection. It's a very powerful thing to remember. Always keep in mind, Lord, if I'm not assured, watch this, everybody. If I'm not assured, Lord, if I'm not at peace with you and confident with you, Christ, in my life. I can never be that way with other people. This is vitally important. To show assurance and love and care, you've got to have that stability in your life first. Where do you go back to when doubts come, when fears arise? You've got to go back to the Lord. And he says, I love you. He says in Jeremiah, I love you with an everlasting love. Now stop right there. Ladies, when you hear verses like that, Jesus loves me. Oh, so sweet. And us guys wish we could be like you on that. You ladies, you write one another and say, oh, thank you for coming to my tea last Wednesday. Love, Susie. And Lisa gets a note like that. Oh. Oh. What is it? Are you okay? What is it? Oh. I got a note. Listen, God sends women a way that he gets through to them. And women seem to have an easier way to, when the Bible says that God loves you, women go, yeah. Guys, we're different. And it's really hard for us guys, right, guys? It's hard when we read the Bible. It says that in eternity, the church will be the bride of Christ. That's tough for a man. It's hard for us. But we relate to that differently. When guys love each other, it's funny. It's funny because you know what we do? We put somebody in a headlock and put knuckles on their head. That's how we tell them we love them. Guys are like that. If you played sports, one of the universal worldwide displays of love is to get a pat on the rear end after the touchdown. It's automatic. It's if you love them, pat them on their rear end. If you hit a home run, the guy gets patted on the rear end. Have you noticed that? Watch a game. Watch a sporting event. The guy hits a home run, everybody walks over there and slaps him on the rear end. What is that? It's an international communication of love. Guys get it. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Wait. That was an awesome home run. It was incredible. That was so beautiful how it just went over the fence. Here you go. The guy would go, yeah, right on. No, you gotta go like this. Yeah. It's the communication thing. And you can have two kids be born from the same parents, come out of the same place, and they're absolutely different people. One, you gotta talk to. I love you. Oh. The other one, they don't care about the words. Just give me money. Right? Don't tell me, show me. Completely different. Where does this come from? Listen, for each and every one of us right here, right now, we have issues with love. And God wants to communicate to each and every one of us. Were you loved as a child? Were you taken care of as a child? Were you protected as a child? Were you assured as a child? I think one of the greatest damages about divorce is that it causes a child to maybe never trust again. And our God is a God that assures us. And he wants you to know that. That's what that word love means here. That it's not rude. Secondly, by his consistency, he encourages me. Now you've noticed again, right? He encourages me. Have you noticed again? Remember I told you this last week. Look at the screen. By his consistency, he assures me. By his consistency, he encourages me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Remember what I said last week? You write down me on your piece of paper. I'll write down me because those are my pieces of paper on the screen. Because it's me. When you write it down, it's you writing down the me, not me writing down your you. It's your me. That's your me. Put it down. Because God is speaking to you. He is a personal Savior who loves you personally. That is his nature. And he is consistent to encourage me. He's consistent to encourage you. God is good. And he loves to do that. Love does not seek its own. That is this encouragement. It doesn't, listen, the word means that God's love is not selfish, self-centered, self-seeking. It's not like that. It's other-centered. This is amazing to me. The word means literally to not take its own path. Love does not take its own path. The opposite of this is to be using others around you at their expense to promote yourself. God's love is not like that. Do you realize Jesus would have stayed home? rather than come here and die on the cross, but he came. Jesus is always consistent to show his encouragement and his instruction to us, his consistency to encourage us. God's word encourages us. How many times do you pick up the Bible and you read it? By the way, listen, we all need encouragement regarding this. We need to stay in the Bible on a daily basis. I thank God every day. I wake up early, I go into another room. I have my time with God, and when I come back into our bedroom, Lisa is there. She's got her books all over the bed. She's got her Bible. She's got her devotion books, and then we have our time of reading together. But here's the thing. There is this constant need that if we don't have a time with God, either together or individual, because our schedules don't always allow it, if we don't have that time, there's a deficiency for the rest of our day. It's almost like, I mean, God forbid we wake up in the morning and not eat. Right? I gotta get something to eat. What if we all decided today, no food until we're with God first. Feed the soul first, then the stomach. Imagine that. There'll be a whole lot of devotions going on. Why? Because I gotta get through this so I can eat. But feeding your soul, what happens? You're encouraged. David said of himself, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Hope thou in God." Find your strength in God. Why? Because the greatest thing about that is that he speaks to us and he encourages us. I know there's people that read the Bible and say, "Man, you know what? I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand." Wow. When you read the Bible, when God says, "Come to me if you're heavy laden." When God says, "If you come to me, I will not turn you away." When God says, "If you come, I'll forgive you." How encouraging is that? "I'll never leave you or forsake you." How amazing is that? He's always encouraging.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Thirdly, by his consistency, he accepts me. His faithfulness, dependability, his consistency, love is not provoked. This is a strong word. The word in the English closest to its full meaning is love is not exasperated. The word in the Greek, though, means more graphically to sharpen alongside or to stir up or to cause heat. Friction, to create friction, to be resentful. We get the word resentful from this. To be quick angry is another way it's to be said. Ill-tempered, quick angry, bad disposition. Love is not like that. Love doesn't have a bad day. "Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm having a bad day." You have to repent of that action. "I'm sorry, I'm Irish." What do the Irish get away with everything for? What is that? "Oh, you have to forgive me. I'm Irish." No, you need to repent. God's love's not like that. You see the deficiency that you and I have? We have a tendency to be ill-tempered. We're tempted to be rude to people or to be cold or to be seeking our own way or to be provoked. An example of exasperation. In Mark chapter 6, verse 35, it's sad but funny at the same time. It says, when the day was now far spent, the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, "This is a deserted place. It's a wilderness. And already the hour is late. Send them away." There were thousands of people following Jesus. You read that, I know exactly what that means. This is what it means. Jesus, we've been ministering all day. Working for you is tough. I mean, we're grateful, but it's tough. Everybody's got a need. Everybody's got something wrong. Everybody's got an issue. Now look, the day's over. You could just hear Peter, "Oy vey." The day's over, thank God, put it away. Send the people out. Jesus, we're tired, we're hungry. I'm gonna take a shower, watch the stars. Send them away. And Jesus says to them, "Hey, I tell you what, yeah, you're right. It is a deserted place. It is really late. Why don't you guys all just have them all sit down and feed them?" What is he doing? Number one, He's heightening their awareness of their great need of God, not another program, not a catering service. Jesus says, make the people to sit down. More work, it's late. Make them to sit down, all right. And the Lord supernaturally provides the need to, I think, look, the people got fed in their tummies, but I think the disciples learned a huge lesson. When you're ministering at the point of being exasperated, you know what happens when you're exasperated? You're short with people. Oh, what? Okay. What? Oh, just pray. Well, you know what? My wife and my husband, they... Oh! When we do... Listen, every one of us, don't look at me like this. We all do this. When we're spent and we're tired and we start responding to people and we're quick and ill-tempered, you know what? We're running in our own strength. We're doing ministry or, listen, for that matter, you don't have to be in ministry. If you're a Christian, I don't care what you do. If you're a Christian, that is your ministry, whatever it is. And if you're doing it in your own strength, you'll get gripey and grumpy and mopey and snippy. A friend of mine told me a long time ago, I haven't exactly obeyed him, but... it's great counsel nonetheless. He's a tremendous doctor. And he said, you know, caregivers have a tendency, that's why they're caregivers, is they pour themselves into people until they like fall over. And if you're a caregiver, which by the way, isn't that, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. You're Christians? You're caregivers. We have a tendency, if we run on our own strength to get short, that's a time to take a break. He said, you know, as doctors, we'll work. Every doctor's got his own schedule. He knows himself. She knows herself. If it's working 3 weeks or 9 weeks or 6 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever, they just go all out and then they take a week off. And then they go all out. You say, well, that's kind of cush. But they're working 24 hours a day. Okay? Even if they're sitting at home, they're still working in their head. It's still hurting. Here's the thing. If you're not getting a Sabbath time to be recuperated with the Lord, you're going to be grumpy. And how would you like to have your surgeon that's about ready to cut your brain out, you know? Can you imagine? Listen, are you going to have surgery tomorrow? Tomorrow's Monday, big surgery day. You better be praying for your doctor that he's right now sailing down Newport Beach somewhere, having a great day. You don't want your doctor cutting on your head at the end of his 9 week run. Why? Because you make mistakes. And it's like, come on, oh man, what? How many surgeries today? Three of them. And Jack's my last one. He's at 4 o'clock. Oh gosh. Oh man, we'll just, just get him in, cut him open, put that thing in there, put some more marbles in there and sew them up. And yet we can live our lives like that as Christians. Turn to the kids. What do you want again? Did I just feed you? What's your trip? Hey, everybody backs up. What's the deal? It's an international announcement. Haven't been with Jesus for a while. That's what it means. Not loving right now. Not loving. I need to know the love of God before I can give the love of God out. And you've got to take a break. A lot of people wound too tight these days, and we can all have the excuses. Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, I already know what. We fail because we're not with him. Alan Redpath, the great author, writes this. There is perhaps nothing more disruptive and upsetting in a home than a bad disposition. The man or woman who is bitter and irritable is a foul presence in an otherwise comfortable setting. These are the people who seem to enjoy seeing others disrupted and made to hurt. They are thin-skinned people who erupt into a volcanic spewing of harmful words fueled by a wicked heart. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of a good man, out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are we not convicted? Very, very seriously. Next consideration is this. By his consistency, he looks upon me. So what do you mean by that? By his consistency, he looks upon me. We see the words here, love thinks no evil. This word, love thinks no evil is love does not think of another person as worthless or depraved to injure them or to plot against them or to design evil against someone. Now listen, this love of God thinks, this is amazing, God's love, the word that God put in the Bible to describe his love. Are you guys listening? God's word given is a love that God loves you with, and it means this, he looks for the best in you before ever looking at anything else other than. You know how we use the word, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You know that action? That's a little hint of the love that God has for us. God approaches you and I, so to speak, giving you the benefit of the doubt. He wants to, and he does, think good of you. Listen, this is not some self-esteem message I'm giving you here right now. This is the nature of God. You see, what happens when a sinner approaches God? A hellion. What happens when a hellion approaches God? God looks at that person. He knows everything about their sin. He's not discounting their sin. He's looking through the veil and through the fleshly folds of your life, and he sees the person down deep inside of you. He sees all the things that frustrate you, all the reasons why. He knows all of that stuff, and he loves you. When you and I look at people, we go, man, aren't they just a piece of work? I don't want to be around that person unless I have garlic tied around my neck in a cross with a stainless steel stake or something, you know. That person's a child of Satan. Did you know God looks behind all that stuff and he sees down deep inside as to why they are the way that they are? You and I look at the flesh and we look at their conduct and we have a tendency to judge them. God looks on the heart. And as a church, before we ever launch out into the gifts of the Spirit, wouldn't it be best, according to God, that we would look down by his amazing ability? And look, it's not that you discern, well, I see what's in your heart. No, you don't. Nobody, we cannot see into someone's heart, but we can love them like Jesus loves them. And that is amazing to me. It's not of this world. He looks upon us. And what do you think this morning about that? How do you see God looking upon you? See him like this looking on you? How do you see him? Let me ask you something. How do you need to see him? Moses encountered that. You remember when Moses said to God in the burning bush, when I go back down to the children of Israel, who do I tell them sent me? And he says, tell them I am that I am. In Greek, it's the ego eimi of Jesus Christ. The one in the burning bush is the same one in John's Gospel chapter 8 that says, I am. I am the eternal one. What do you need? Do you need peace? I'm your peace. Do you need assurance? I'm your assurance. Do you need care? I'm your caregiver. Do you need protection? I'm your protector. That's what the I am means. I will become what you need, says God. And a person thinking halfway right understands, I need him.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 2. This is an awesome series and we're glad you joined us for it. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, I want to stop right now and just pray a very important prayer for the most important topic, and that is God's creation of the family. God loves the family. In fact, he's invited himself into his family, hasn't he? The Bible says he's adopted us into his family. And so I pray for your family. Listen, make your marriage work. Do everything you can to make sure that your parenting skills are educated and you get help from the Word of God. And there's a lot of great resources out there. But don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your parents. Don't give up on your kids. Listen, don't give up on your wife. And don't give up on your husband. Make it work. It's God's will that as much as possible, make it work. So, Lord, we pray right now that you'd heal our homes by healing our relationships with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, Bible prophecy, it's a fascinating subject, especially when it relates to current events. Now, you know, Pastor Jack can really dig in when it comes to prophecy and end times. You can watch Pastor Jack as he and his special guests discuss what the Bible says about the future, with topics like conflict in the Middle East, how our nation has turned its back on morality, and, of course, the global pandemic. You're sure to discover how it all lines up with the Bible and what God's plans are for His church in the end times. You can watch episodes of Happening Now when it's live on Facebook, also from Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, or at our website, that's jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.